of washing our sins away. And of course, the bread is representative of Jesus taking the punishment upon himself, his body being broken for us, that we would receive our healing. But lots of people don't know that when we talk about the blood of Jesus, and we talk about that a lot, as a matter of fact, there's a lot of songs about that. And one of my favorite songs is, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." But you know, it's not that the blood was given and the blood was shed just to have us forgiven of our sin. It's representative of much more than that. And what happened was Jesus took the curse upon himself so that you and I could be blessed. And lots of people don't think about the part where Jesus said, or it says within the scripture, that cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree. Well, how did they hang Jesus? They hung Jesus on a tree. And back in those days, anybody that was hung on a tree was crucified. They considered that cross to be a tree, that they were considered cursed. So you can say, well, Jesus wasn't cursed. No, Jesus wasn't cursed. Jesus was literally the Son of God, but he took the curse upon himself so that you and I could be blessed. And there, you know, we're supposed to be empowered to do what God's called us to do, and many Christians are empowered to do the things that God wants them to do, but they fail, and they don't end up doing what God wants them to do because they choose to travel down a path that brings the curses back on themselves. So Jesus took the curse so you and I could be blessed. We've been empowered to go out and do what God's called us to do, right? However, what happens is many Christians will choose to live a life and go down a path that brings curses to their life. So, but Jesus has redeemed us from all curses. But you and I, we have to choose to obey God. If we don't obey God, then we're not living in blessing. And so we have to choose to live in blessing, to receive blessing, to accept blessing. And when we do that, when we do what God tells us to do, and we do what the Word says to do, what happens is it activates blessing in our life instead of cursing. We know in the Old Testament, God says, "Today I give you a choice, blessing or cursing." Now, what are you going to choose? Well, I would hope we'd say we'd choose blessing. He says, "Also, I give you a choice today, life and death." Well, that's a no-brainer. Everybody wants to live, right? So choose life. That's the better thing to choose. And also, we've got blessing and cursing, life and death. How about heaven and hell? Well, you know what? Choose heaven. There's definitely all of us will live eternally somewhere. It will either be in heaven or in hell. It doesn't matter what we think about it. We're going to live in one of those two places. We need to choose that place is going to be heaven. You know, throughout the scripture, there are many different types of curses that are discussed in the Bible. The scripture talks about the curse of God. Well, what is the curse of God? The curse of God is when God allows curses to come upon people because they disobey the Word. Let me tell you what I mean by that. The Bible says that we're to honor thy mother and thy father. And what does it say happens when we honor our mother and our father? Yes.
We live a very long life.
That our days be long. Good. Good answer. So we're to honor our mother and father so that we can live a long life. But yet some people don't understand that. But it's true. So if we don't live the life that God's told us to do, it'll bring that God has told us to live, it'll bring curses on our life. Listen, if we do the Word, we receive blessing. That's why God gave us the Word. If we don't do the Word, then we receive cursing. God doesn't curse us. He sent His Son to take the curse on our behalf. However, we can get ourselves out from under the umbrella of protection. And when we do that, then we're open for the enemy to come and attack us. Let me show you something. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, the third proverb. And go to verse 33. So one of the first, there's different types of curses in the scripture. One is a curse of God. And look what it says here in Proverbs 3:33. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but He blesses the home of the just. So do you want to live in the house of the blessed, or do you want to live in the house of the just? I want to live in the house of the just, because the wicked's going to be cursed, and the just is going to be blessed. So there's the curse of God. Then there's the curse of man. The scripture talks about the curse of man. So if somebody with authority over us places a curse on us, then it will affect us negatively. What do I mean by that? Well, here's what I mean. The Bible says, with our mouth, with the tongue, we can give life, and with the tongue, we can give death. Well, if that's the case, and you have a child in your home, and when the child's growing up saying, you know what, you're never going to amount to anything. You're going to be in jail before you're 20. What is that doing? That's cursing the child. You don't ever tell children that. If you keep acting like that, you're going to be pregnant before you're 14 years old. Well, what you're doing is you're speaking curse over your family. That's not the type of thing that you should speak over your family. You should speak blessing. Have you ever noticed that when kids are continually told that they're no count, they're no good, they're going to be in jail, they're going to be pregnant, that many times they are? And that's because man can curse people. So spiritually speaking, when I said that when someone has authority over somebody, well, if you've got people in your family who are in authority over you, cursing you, then guess what? You're going to end up being affected by that curse. So we have the curse of God, which is simply getting out from under the umbrella of God's protection by not doing His word. Then we have the curse of man. For example, Noah also cursed Canaan and his descendants. We know what happened. Cain killed his brother Abel, right? So Adam said, listen, you're going to be cursed with a curse. Now, God wouldn't allow anybody to take Cain's life, but Cain, who later became the father of Canaan land, which is the land where Israel went to take over because the people in the land were wicked, that was a part of the curse that was on his life. Many children have been cursed because of their parents and what their parents have said and what their parents have done, and they've cursed their children. They've cursed their children by their lifestyle. They've cursed their children by their words. They've cursed their children by their decisions. And we know this. Look with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 15, the Gospel of Matthew. Go to chapter 15 and go to verse 4. Matthew 15:4 says, and this is Jesus speaking. He said, for God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. So this mother and father thing just doesn't last as long as you're in their home. It lasts your entire life. People, when they grow up, want to get the approval of their parents and know that their parents are proud of the person that they've become. That's a part of, it's not when you get old enough to leave home, that, you know, your mom and dad tell you what to do anymore, but you should still honor them and bless them and let them know that you love them and you're thinking about them. But when you think about it, all authority comes from God. That's where authority comes from. Parents have authority over their children, and where did that come from? That came from God. So, also, what about the pastor? There's some pastors who teach their people wrong. So, when we violate spiritual authority, like the pastor, or natural authority, like parents, that he's placed over us, what happens is we invite a curse on our lives. When I say that it's a matter of life and death where you go to church, here's what I mean by that. If you have somebody who's teaching you the word, and they're teaching you the word and the truth, and sometimes the truth is not easy, but when you have somebody that's teaching you the truth, then we become responsible for the truth. The Bible says that my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge, okay? Which means what you don't know could hurt you, right? So if you go somewhere to church and they're teaching you things that you didn't know before, but they're Bible, then you know what? They're speaking life into you. So if they're speaking life into you, then where you go to church is a matter of life and death. And so that's important. It doesn't say how big your church is or how small your church is. It didn't say any of that. But where you go to church, where you get fed the word of God, can mean life or death. So we need to understand that. Look, if you would, at Romans chapter 13, the book of Romans. Go to chapter 13 and look at verse 1 and 2. Romans 13, 1 and 2. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who will resist will bring judgment on themselves. Listen, if you go out and say, well, I don't believe in speed limits, I don't think there should even be speed limits, and I don't care what that sign says, I'll drive as fast as I want to. I don't care what that sign says, I'll drive as slow as I want to. Well, guess what? When you go and sign up to get your driver's license, when you put your signature on the driver's license, you say, I'm aware of the laws of the land, and I agree to obey the laws of the land. Doesn't matter what you think about it. And guess what? When you go speed and you get caught, you will pay a penalty. If you drive recklessly, you will pay a penalty. If you drive your car in a one way up the wrong way, you will pay the penalty. And sometimes it's not with a ticket. Sometimes it's getting hit by another car. That's a penalty. And then you'll probably still get a ticket. Okay? So, you know, it's important. It doesn't matter what we think about the law. We're responsible to obey the law. Here's another thing. We're to pray for those who have authority over us. You know, we may not agree with who our current president is. We may not agree with their policies. But guess what? We're supposed to pray for them. And it's really hard to pray for those who have authority over you if you're talking bad about them. So we need to kind of check that at the door. Do what God tells us to do. Pray for those who have authority over us. Make sure everybody gets out and votes next time. So there's the God curse, that where we get out from under the umbrella of God's protection. There's the curse of man, where people who have authority over us curse us. And then there's the one that we're probably the most familiar with, and that's the self-inflicted curse. The self-inflicted curse. You might not even know what that means. But when we speak negative about ourselves, we're cursing ourselves. If we were to say, well, you know what? I can't do this, and I can't do that. And if we were to say, I tell you what, I don't have two wooden nickels to rub together. I'm so broke. If you continually talk that, you're cursing yourself. If you said, you know what, I give up. Nobody's ever going to hire me. Then guess what? You just curse yourself and nobody's going to hire you. If you don't believe it, they're not going to believe it. So we can curse ourselves with our words. If we can say, you know, I tried school, I hate school, school's terrible, I'm no good at school, then guess what? You won't be. I used to say this before I learned faith. I used to say, you know what? I love science and history. And you know why I said that? Because I made good grades in science and history. And do you know why I made good grades in science and history? Because I liked it. And because I liked it, I studied it. But when it came to math and English, it wasn't necessarily my favorite subjects. But the two things that you use every day of your life is math and English. So I quit saying that I hate math and English. And I don't hate math and English anymore because I have to use it every day. So guess what? I love math and English. And the more I talk about that I love math and English, the better I become at math and English. Then I use words like plethora. And my wife goes, why do you want to use a big word? And I go, because that's a description of what I'm trying to say. It's a plethora. And my wife says, well, why don't you just say many different kinds? Many different kinds. Many different kinds. Six syllables compared to plethora. Three. So it's a whole lot easier to say plethora than many different kinds. Okay? Plus, hey, it's pretty cool when you know what a word means. Right? So, I like English. But if you say, I hate English, I'm no good at English, my teacher's no good at English, then guess what? You aren't either. And you've cursed yourself. The self-inflicted curse where you curse yourself. I'm sick as a dog. Yes, you are. But guess what? The truth may be that the enemy's attacked your body. The fact may be that the enemy's attacked your body. But the truth is, Jesus took the stripes for your healing and for you to be healed. So the truth is, you're the healed. But the fact may be that the enemy's attacked your body. So what are you going to do? Talk about how sick you are or about how healed you are? If you talk about how sick you are, you're cursing yourself. If you talk about how healed you are, you're blessing yourself. If you talk about how broke and poor you are, you're cursing yourself. If you talk about how blessed and rich you are, then the blessing is activated in your life. What about the curse of sowing and reaping? If you sow evil, guess what you're going to receive? Evil. If you talk bad about people, don't be surprised if they talk bad about you because you sowed that. You know, people will talk bad about you whether you talk bad about them or not. And the Bible says, pray for those who despitefully use you. But if you participate with them and continue to talk bad about other people, why in the world would you be surprised if you heard that people were talking bad about you? Right? So if you sow evil, you're going to reap evil. If you sow to the flesh by giving into the a way of thinking that opposes what God's word says, then you're going to reap corruption and cursing. If you decide that you're going, if the Bible says that don't be unequally yoked. Well, unequally yoked doesn't mean people of color. Unequally yoked means that you shouldn't marry a person who doesn't believe spiritually like you believe. But lots of times girls will go out and date some guy, and they go, oh, he's cute, and he's athletic, and he's all of that, but he's not a Christian, and he doesn't believe like they believe. But they think, well, you know what, once I get him, I'm going to change him. No, you're not. What's going to happen is they're going to change you, and not for the better. Because you've activated a curse in your life. So you can't think contrary to what the Word of God says. You can't do contrary to what the Word of God says, or you've cursed yourself. And many times we do that. Many times we curse ourselves by what we say. There's also the curse of the prophets. You may not have heard of that before, the curse of the prophets. But if you'll turn to Psalm 105, and go to verse 14. Listen, here's where you're walking on dangerous ground. You're walking on dangerous ground when you go and talk about somebody who's involved in ministry. Or you go and talk about somebody who has an anointing. So if you don't know something about a pastor or a TV evangelist or somebody that does some type of ministry, and you've just heard rumors of what that person is doing, then you know what? You're setting yourself up to get yourself in trouble. The Bible says you don't lay your hand on God's anointed. So when you go speak about somebody that's doing ministry and you start talking negatively about that person that's doing ministry, even though you don't know anything about them, are you not concerned that maybe that person actually is anointed? And the things that are being said about that person is not true. Therefore, you're opening yourself up for a curse because you're making a judgment about something of God. You know, not only are we not supposed to judge anybody else, we definitely aren't supposed to judge those that are in ministry. If you don't feel comfortable about somebody that's in ministry, then just don't listen to them, but shut up. Don't say anything about them. You know, you try to harm a person that's genuinely anointed by God, whether it's through your words or whether it's something you say or do to them, you know, you might reap a curse on your life. Look here, Psalm 105 verse 14 says, "He permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, 'Do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm.'" So you know what? Don't you dare try to be the judge of whether somebody's anointed from God or not, because it puts yourself in a bad situation. There's lots of times where people have tried to harm prophets by speaking negatively to them. I don't know if you remember the story in the Bible, but these kids were yelling at this one prophet going, "Ooh, bald head, bald head." And they're yelling bald head at the prophet. And do you remember what happened to them? A bear came out of the woods, or a lion, I can't remember which one, and mauled them and ate them all up. So I bet if those kids could take back the curses of calling the prophet of God bald man, they would probably take it back. But they were no longer there to take it back. Throughout the scripture, remember when the people of Israel thought that they themselves should have Moses and Aaron's position? They're like, who in the world said that Moses gets to be the leader? Who says that Aaron gets to help them? And then what happened? Those that spoke against Moses and Aaron, the earth opened up. It swallowed up all of them, their tents, their children, everything they owned, then closed back up like nothing ever happened. Well, that's not a place we want to be, is it? So you definitely don't want to put your mouth on God's anointed. So there's also the cursed of the accursed. There's the curse of the prophets, curse of man, curse of God, the self-inflicted curse, and then there's the curse of the accursed. If you associate with anybody or anything that's accursed, then you bring a curse on yourself. Which is why the Bible tells us that we shouldn't read horoscopes. Did you know that? Did you know the Bible tells you not to play with horoscopes? Do you know the Bible tells you not to play with or to be around mediums or palm readers or Ouija boards or anything like that? Why is that? Because that's the cult. That's the occult. When you mess around with anything that's involved in the occult, then what you've done is you're messing with something that's cursed. If you mess with something that's cursed, then it's going to mess you up. Spiritually speaking. So there's the curse of the accursed, where if you mess with anything that's cursed, it's going to mess you up. Let me give you a scripture just so you know what I'm saying is true. Go to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. God said, look, I want you to go into Ai. When you go into Ai, you can take this and you can take that, but everything else you're to kill by the sword or to burn. And what did Achan do? Achan and his family went and took stuff that God told them not to, which means it was cursed. And when they took it, guess what happened? God had judgment against them, and the whole family died. Well, you know what? You don't play with things that are cursed, because that curse will come on you. What about generational curses? Have you ever heard generational curses or inherited curses? And these are curses that are passed down from generation to generation. And what I mean by that, many times people that are alcoholics lived in a home of somebody that was alcoholic. Why is that? Because they were cursed, and because they had that curse on their life, they also, participated in the curse. And so there's generational curses that can be passed along. There's hate that gets passed along from generation to generation. There's bitterness that gets passed along from generation to generation. There's alcoholism and drug addiction and prostitution and bad sexual spirits that get passed down from generation to generation. And those things are inherited. There are physical curses that get passed down from generation to generation. In other words, when you go to the doctor, the doctor will start talking to you about, have you had heart disease in your family? Did your mom have heart disease? Did your dad have heart disease? If you're female, they'll say, did your mother or your grandmother on either side have breast cancer? Why are they asking you that question? Because it's something that could be passed on from generation to generation genetically. But here's what people don't understand. When you come to Christ, the generational curse is broken off your life. You don't have to pray that God would go back and break all these curses from one generation to the next generation. You don't have to do that. And you don't have to do it because when you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, all those generational curses have been taken off your life. And you can say, but physically that doesn't happen. Well, it depends on what you believe. I believe that when I have my earthly family, But I also have been born into the kingdom of God. If I've been born into the kingdom of God, that means that the royal blood of Jesus Christ flows through my veins. If that's the case, then that's my generation. Guess what? Jesus doesn't have sickness. That you ain't going to get a curse of sickness from the royal blood of Jesus. So if you take it literally, what the scripture says, you understand that you have a new genetic. You now have become a child of God, a joint heir with Jesus, right? So those curses aren't attached to you anymore. A curse, like a blessing, doesn't die with the person from which it originated. For example, when Abraham died, Isaac carried on the blessing of the covenant. But guess what? Abraham did some lying, and so did Isaac. So the blessing was passed from one to the other. But Abraham went to this city, and when he got there, he said, "Sarah is my sister, not my wife," which was a half a lie, half truth. But he lied. And God was going to kill the king because the king was going to take Sarah to be his wife. And God warned him in a dream, don't do it. Isaac did that twice. So not only did the curse of lying get passed down, also the blessing of God was passed down. And of course, in their later years, they didn't do that. A person's children can partake of the curse that's on his or her life. And there's a lot of people who have suffered terribly through the years because of generational or inherited curses on their lives. And let me tell you something. When you don't obey God's commands, when you don't do what the Word says to do, you open yourself up for a generational curse to come alive in your life, as well as other curses. Because if you don't do what you're supposed to do, then you're opening yourself up for trouble. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter 2. Listen, our identification, who we are, is not limited to the natural realm. If we're made in God's image, and we are, God is a spirit. If God's a spirit, the most important part of us is our spirit. Therefore, our spiritual identity, the identity of who we are spiritually, in the flesh, many times. Look at Romans 2, go to verse 28. Look what it says here. "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God." Once again, it goes back to that thing. It's not what we see on the outside that's bad. It's what happens on the inside that will be manifested on the outside. If your heart is sinful on the inside, then you're going to be sinful on the outside. If your heart is pure on the inside, then you're going to be pure on the outside. It's not what comes out of a person that's bad, and what's going to affect you for bad. It's what's on the inside of the person that's going to affect you for bad, both inside and outside. Garbage in, garbage out. Good stuff in, good stuff out. That's the way it works. What do you mean by that? Well, if you feed yourself with negativism, bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, then guess what? That's ugly. And you'll be ugly on the inside, and you'll be ugly on the outside. Doesn't matter how pretty you are outside. If you're ugly on the inside, you're not even pretty on the outside. And vice versa. There's a lot of people that might not be that attractive, but because of the sweetness of their spirit, you can't help but love and like them. It's the inside of a person is what counts. Lots of people don't understand it, but this next curse is a curse. And it's the curse of unforgiveness. If you harbor unforgiveness and you harbor bitterness in your hearts, and you're inviting a curse on yourself. And let me tell you something. You don't want to harbor unforgiveness. You don't want to harbor bitterness. Why would you want to be cursed because God forgave you and you won't forgive somebody else? If you hold other people's sins and offenses against them, that causes God to hold our sins and offenses against us. Isn't it amazing when we hear that somebody did something wrong? You know, we want God to take a sledgehammer and nail them. But yet, when we do something wrong, we are like, God, please forgive me. Give me mercy. Give me peace. When it's us, we want God to be merciful. When it's somebody else, we want God to nail them. Get them, God. Get them good. It's like we're telling God to sick them. Well, you know what? Don't tell God to sick them. Leave it alone. The Bible says, with the mercy we give, it's the mercy we receive. What do you want to receive? If you want to receive love and acceptance and forgiveness, then give love, acceptance, and forgiveness. We're supposed to pursue peace with people. Look with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, go to verse 14. We can't allow bitterness to come into our heart and take root in our lives. We've got to pursue peace with other people. Pursue peace with all people. And holiness, which is what I've been talking about on Sunday mornings. And holiness, by the way, without which no one will see the Lord. So the Bible tells us that if we don't pursue peace and we don't pursue holiness, we won't even see the Lord. So people that's always starting stuff, drumming stuff up, people who are getting in the way of mending relationships and friendships and all that type of stuff, we're opening ourselves up for a curse in our life. The Bible tells us, and we've been seeing that on Sunday mornings, that's what we've been talking about. You and I are to live a life of holiness. That's our behavior, how we act, what we do. And to be holy is simply to have the we're to have the same mindset of God, and our mindset should be the same as that of God. And how do we know what that is? And that's by being obedient to the scripture. There's the curse of the law. The curse of the law. And when God's law is broken, a curse is automatically released upon the person who broke it. So when God tells us to do something, He's not telling us to do something because it's something that's bad for us. He's telling us to do something because it's something that's good for us. When we disobey God, then we've opened ourselves up for a curse. Who wants to be cursed? Not me. I know that nobody here wants to be cursed. So guess what? We need to be obedient to God's word. The curse is only removed when we sincerely repent. And what does sincerely repent mean? To change the way we think. Whatever it was that we thought that got us in the position that let it be okay that we do something that God said not to do. I've heard people say, well, you know what? I just don't believe that a God who's supposed to be a loving God would allow people to be born a certain way. Well, first of all, you ain't God. And second of all, you don't have the mind of God. And third of all, why are you judging God? Dangerous ground. So, you know what? Why don't you quit talking on God's behalf since you're not even talking about what God said? If you're saying what God says, then you're speaking blessing. If you're not speaking what God says, you're speaking cursing. If you say, I'm not going to forgive them, then you're cursed. If you say, I'm trying, but it's hard, then you're cursing yourself. You need to forgive. You need to walk in love. You need to not be bitter towards that person. You need to let it go. Why in the world would you allow curses to come in your life and mess you all up? Because you're too hard-hearted to forgive and to just let something go. Isn't God able, no matter what that person did to you or said to you, is God not able to fill your life with better stuff than the people who said bad stuff to you or took stuff from you? Isn't God able to do you better than that? The answer is yes, Pastor. Yes, He is. Because He is. Well, He took that and that belonged to me. Well, you know what? Can't God give you something better? So instead of moaning and whining and complaining and talking about, but it was mine. Maybe it was yours. But sometimes life ain't fair. And sometimes things happen to your stuff. But what happens if instead of cursing yourself by being mad about it, that you bless yourself by thinking, you know what? Don't matter. I'm going to consider that seed sown because whatever was taken, God can give me much better. Whole different attitude, isn't it? Yes, Pastor. Good preaching. Thank you. The curse is only removed when we sincerely repent and completely turn to God and decide that we're going to commit to obey Him and what the Word says. There's also the curse of Satan, which is the final curse tonight. Satan, through his agents, imps and demons, can put a curse on individuals who are outside of Christ and have broken the hedge of God's protection. So if you get out from under God's umbrella of protection, you've opened yourself up for the enemy to attack you. And, you know, just like God has angels, the enemy has imps and demons who will try to come and attach themselves to you to cause problems in your life. Paul said, everybody, there's people throughout the world that preach that Paul's thorn in the flesh was that he had an oozing eye disease. But Paul described in that passage himself what the thorn in the flesh was. He says, I was given a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Well, what's a messenger from Satan? A demon. There was a demon that went around everywhere that he went and going, oh, that's the man of God. He's a man of God. And Paul would go, I don't want no devil cursing me. Shut up. And it would shut up till he went to the next town. It also would attack his body and attacked his eyes. But it was a messenger of Satan sent directly from Satan to do what? To try to make things difficult for Paul. And Paul prayed. He says, I prayed 3 times and asked God to take it away. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, if you understand who you are, you don't have to live with that. Take care of it yourself, Paul. So, if we're obedient and remain under the blood of Jesus Christ, the curse of Satan can't affect you. The only way the curse from Satan can affect you is if you get out from under the umbrella of God's protection by not doing God's word. If you do God's word, it's not that an attack will not come. It's just that it can't affect you. And, you know, we're not responsible for what happens to us. We're responsible for how we respond when something happens to us. So if curses are operating in your life, identify the root. Where in the world are the curses coming from? How have these curses entered into your life? Find out if it's a curse from the enemy, if it's a curse that you've self-inflicted on yourself just by not being obedient to the word. You know, we've identified what the curses are and why they come. So identify them. You know, get in the word, study it, find out about areas that maybe you haven't done as well as you ought to. Repent. Change the way you think. Believe God wants to bless you. Believe God wants to prosper you. Believe God wants to heal you. Believe God wants you to be a happy, joyous person that's full of peace. Believe that. You know, just decide that you're going to get serious and seek God genuinely from the bottom of your heart so that you can see the changes in your life that you are believing God to see. And it's only going to happen when we get real with God. The Bible says, confess your sins to one another. But let me caution you there. You don't want to tell everybody all your business. You don't want to be secretive. But when it says confess your sins one to the other, the first great place to confess it is to God. Leave it there until you feel the need to share it with somebody else. But not everybody who you think is going to take good care of the information that you just gave them is always going to take good care of the information that you just gave them. Sometimes people are just looking for a reason to take something that you say and use it against you. So be careful. Confess your sins, but confess them to God and make sure that you only confess some other things that are going on in your life with people close enough that you know that that would never get out to anybody else. Amen? Stand with me tonight. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for your faithful people who've showed up on a Wednesday night getting so close to Christmas. Father, I thank you for your word. It seems like no matter what subject we get,